And welcome to the Naked Satanist Podcast. I'm your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins. Still trying to get all the bugs worked out. Today I'm going to be going over how I become a nudist, naturist, and also a Satanist. And then I'll cover the topic of some aspects. Well, then we will cover some topics of aspects of me and how it pertains to Satanism. And how I see the political landscape is generally the way this podcast is going to work. As you can tell, I'm video podcasting or vlogging, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. But we'll go ahead there. And as the intro is supposed to say, I may be a reverend in the Church of Satan, but I do not speak for, nor do my views represent, the Church of Satan or any other organization. First off, about me as a Satanist. Like several people I know who are members of the Church of Satan, we read the Satanic Bible in high school. Instead of discovering it via the bookstore, it was handed to me by a fellow classmate in the 10th grade. I read the Satanic Bible in one night and knew it was describing me and my traits. Of course, I handed the book back to the girl who opened my eyes to a bigger, better view of myself. After joining the U.S. Navy in 1987, I got to my first command. I purchased my own copy of the Satanic Bible, and I still have it to this day. I reread it usually about once a year, and I have gotten more into reading the Church of Satan canon as time has gone along. When I got it to my second ship, I found an ad for a naturist nudist group based in Florida. I had always hated wearing clothes, and my interest piqued by the ad. Over time, I would help form a now defunct group in 1994, which after I left, they folded. I've been a member of several other groups since 1990, and I'm currently a member of two of those organizations, and I still hate wearing clothes. They're national nudist organizations, which, of course, I don't speak for either. Though I was a Satanist, I did not join the Church of Satan until much later, when I felt the time was right. During that time, I was married to a converted Mormon and had two children. After being divorced from my now ex-wife, I got involved with someone who had become my soulmate. At first, he didn't understand what Satanism was about until much later. I went and started trying to meet others who called themselves Satanists and to see how I would fit in. I got involved with podcasting with Radio Free Satan, which I started about 2002. I would host several music shows and still do to this day. In about 2010, I officially joined the Church of Satan and even sent in my active application. After I got my citizenship as a member of the alien elite, I would wear my Baphomet with pride. I attended the first Devil's Reign with my hubby, as I called him after a few years of us being together, though we were not officially married. He was amazed by the knowledge of the mannerisms of everyone that was there. He even pleasantly shocked by our high priest, Peter H. Gilmore, and his wife, High Priestess Peggy Nadramia, being so cordial with non-members. We did not attend another Devil's Reign until the 50th anniversary of Satanic Bible. But by that time, my hubby started to understand why Satanism meant so much to me from listening to several of the speakers that weekend. During that weekend, I was wanting to have a Satanic wedding, but it didn't line up in time, though High Priest Peter H. Gilmore did send us a wedding blessing to us after the Devil's Reign. As time went along, I would be elevated to my current position as priest in the Church of Satan. one of the honors I had the pleasure of obtaining. And when my hubby died in March of 2004, the only card of sympathy I got was from our high priest and high priestess. Not saying that anybody else didn't send me their sympathies, but at least I got a card from them. Moving on to why I started this podcast. I was urged by our high priest to do a podcast based on my interest in nudism, naturism, and Satanism. I did a total of 6 episodes for Radio Free Satan before I ran out of material to discuss. Okay. After a time, when I stopped doing it on Radio Free Satan until now, I wanted to do a free-form talk about naturism, Satanism, and my views of the world. Not every show will have information about naturism, but from time to time I'll have information about what is going on with it. I told Magister Gene to take down those episodes of The Naked Satanist from Radio Free Satan, and I would go it alone, and I was still doing I still will be doing the Metro on Radio Free Satan for the long haul, but I need to express myself more. For those who don't know, I do the Metro on Radio Free Satan, 80s podcast. From time to time, I'll do the Metal Grotto to help out Reverend DJ Hell on Wheels. So, to anyone listening, thank you for tuning in and giving this priest a soapbox to discuss things at. I'll be starting to talk about the USS Liberty and USS Pueblo after the break. But if you have any ideas for a topic for me to discuss, please email them to me at jeff@nakedsatanist.com. We'll take a short break and we'll get right back into the show and how the USS Liberty and USS Pueblo have quote-unquote direct effect with me. So we'll be right back.
The Neutral Wisdom Podcast is a podcast dedicated to passing on knowledge and experience from a satanic perspective, hosted by Satanist and satanic warlock Robert Shirley. Join us as we challenge conventional wisdom and offer refreshing insights for those seeking deeper understanding and self-empowerment through a modern philosophy. Embrace your own authenticity and transformative potential. Join us wherever you get your podcasts and at neutralwisdom.ca for more information.
Satansplain. Satanic Talk with Church of Satan Magister Bill M.
Well, it's not Satan worship, it's Satanism. It's embracing the life-enriching things which have traditionally been given the devil's name. Pride, lust, earthly success, rational self-interest, atheism, humor, nonconformity, science, a passion for living, being selective about whom we love. We don't see these as shameful sins, but empowering ideals. And we also recognize the psychological power and fun of symbolism and aesthetics, so we utilize Satan as mythology's most fitting mascot for what we're about.
Listen to Satansplain. Learn more at satansplain.com.
And welcome back. Like I said, I'm still trying to get all the bugs worked out. just so you know, the reason I'm doing videos, I wanted to one-up Magister Bill M. on doing Satansplain. He does an audio podcast. I wanted to do a video one just for the hell of it. Taking Magister Dave Harris's idea and updating the thought. So today I want to discuss the topics of the USS Liberty and USS Pueblo. Most people listening do not know these ships and the carnage that they went through. I'm going to start off with the USS Liberty. People wonder why I'm not pro-Israel, as most people are. Israel and the United States have been allies for decades. However, during the 1967 Six-Day War, a conflict which the U.S. vowed to remain neutral, Israel launched a devastating strike on a U.S. naval vessel in international waters. 34 were killed, 171 were injured, and the ship suffered severe damage. Both countries labeled the attack as an accident. But questions have surrounded it ever since. Some of the veterans of the USS Liberty and other investigators reached a different conclusion. They believe that the USS Liberty was deliberately attacked, and both the U.S. and Israeli covered it up in a hasty investigation. Shocking. They point to several holes in the official story based on published reports and declassified communications. In the days leading up to the attack, Israeli officials claimed that they repeatedly warned U.S. ships to steer clear of the coast because any unidentified ships would automatically be considered hostile. American naval and government officials claim that no inquiries were made about the position of American ships until after the attack of the Liberty. An Israeli pilot who flew over the Liberty during the reconnaissance and attack claimed that they did not see any identifying marks on the ship. The Liberty crew members maintained that the ship's designation as an American vessel was plain on her hull markings and the American flag that was flying at full mast when the aerial attack began. Visual confirmation by the Israelis also suggested that the Liberty looked similar to the Egyptian ship El Kassir. You could clearly see the difference between the two vessels. If you look up the Liberty and the El Kassir, you'll see that they look nothing alike. So there's that. The Israeli torpedo boats delivered the ship was, or believed that the ship was a combat vessel because they tracked it during a speed of 28 knots. The Liberty's top speed was well known below that, and standard cruising speed signal work was close to 5 knots. Records indicate that the Israeli naval operations ordered the torpedo boats to halt the attack because the target had been incorrectly identified. The commander of the torpedo boat division claimed that he never received the order, although the deputy commander testified that he had relayed the halt order to him. Now, this is, I'm talking as a left-leaning libertarian. There's some things about the attack on Liberty that there's still questions, and I'll get it why I'm bringing this up on this episode, and we'll see from there. But we're going to go ahead and discuss the USS Pueblo, which is something different that happened about a year later. The USS Pueblo is probably more known than USS Liberty, since it was a known spy ship. On January 23, 1968, the USS Pueblo, a naval intelligence vessel, is engaging in routine surveillance on North Korean coast when it was intercepted by North Korean patrol boats. According to the reports, the Pueblo was in international waters almost 16 miles from shore, but the North Koreans turned their guns on a lightly armed vessel and demanded its surrender. At first, the captured crew of the Pueblo resisted demands that they sign false confessions, famously raising their middle fingers at the camera and telling the North Koreans it was a Hawaiian good luck sign. Once the North Koreans learned the truth, they punished the prisoners with beatings, cold temperatures, and sleep deprivation. According to a lawsuit, some of the Pueblo crew would later file against the North Korean government. On December 23, 1968, exactly 11 months after the Pueblo's capture, U.S. and North Korean negotiators reached a settlement to resolve the crisis. Under the settlement terms, the United States admitted the ship's intrusion in North Korean territory, apologized for the actions, and the surviving 82 crew members walked one by one across the bridge of no return at Millennium to freedom in South Korea. They were hailed as heroes and returned home to the United States in time for Christmas. The incidents between North Korea and the United States continued in 1969, and in April 1969, a North Korean MiG shot down a U.S. Navy intelligence aircraft, killing all 31 members aboard. And in 1970, quietly returned in 1970, everything quieted down along the demilitarized zone. Now, then, I'm not saying we should support Israel, but the amount of cover-up the government has is a word of warning. I will never trust the governments, either of these governments, knowing what is in the public domain. Even China, as of lately, if you remember back in early of the George W. Bush administration, they can't be trusted with them buzzing our intelligence aircraft and ships while they're in international airspace and waters. The one that kind of got me was one of their MiGs caused an EP-3E to make an emergency landing at a Chinese military base. The crew were returned after a short period of time, and the plane, less the surveillance equipment. Most of the people don't believe it, but the EP-3 was completely dismantled before it was returned. We also never got a good enough apology from the United States or from the Chinese government over either. Why do these stories matter to me? Well, I worked in the intelligence fields back in my time in the U.S. Navy. These deaths or injuries could have been me. Now, I don't care who is sitting in the White House, but someone should demand apologies from these countries, especially from our so-called ally Israel. I know the Chinese and North Korean governments would not do it. Hell, the North Koreans still refuse to return the USS Pueblo to us and is using it as a propaganda to their citizens. Now, my whole thing about the use of saying that we need an apology from Israel is they knew it was a U.S. Intelligence ship, and they turned around and they attacked it anyway. All U.S. ships are required to fly an actual flag, stay in international waters, and that's basically what happened. So, I don't care who the president is. I don't care who's running the White House. I just want an apology, at least from Israel, and the USS Pueblo returned so we can decommission her, because she's still commissioned. And like I said, she's being used as propaganda by the North Korean government. They made it into a museum. So, with that said, I want to go ahead and this is going to be it's going to be a short episode. But if you have any questions or comments, again, you can send me an email at jeff@nakedsatanist or thenakedsatanist.com, and I will reply. You can find out more information about the Naked Satanist. Be sure to like us on YouTube and Facebook to keep up to date on when a new podcast is has been produced or is going to be produced, because I plan on doing this live with a video. Remember, I do not speak for, nor do I, hold on here. Don't smoke, kids. I gotta light a cigarette. I do not speak for, nor do I represent any organization other than myself. And everything here is copyrighted. The Naked Satanist in 2025. And I shall see you guys later. Remember, this is your host, Reverend Jeff Ivins. Hail thyself, and hail Satan.